Hello, listeners. You are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I'm your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone. And with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how's it going?
It's good. I'm doing good. I don't know if you want a weather report, but
I don't know. Will it depress me? It's December in Maine for you.
I know. Actually, no, it hasn't been too bad, not too cold, but we are supposed to get snow on Sunday, though. I don't think a lot. No big storm or anything. We had lots of rain the beginning of the week. Did you guys have, we had crazy rain and winds?
It rained on Thanksgiving, and then it rained on Monday, I believe.
Yeah, we had it Monday into Tuesday. When I take the dogs for our walk, there's a whole bunch of new trees down blocking my way, which I don't like. But otherwise, things are okay. I'm getting my Christmas tree this weekend, so
okay,
that'll be fun.
Well, we've got one more person in the chat, and she is coming to us live from Queens, New York. Her name is Marissa Splendorio. Marissa, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited.
I'm very glad you could join us. Marissa is my old colleague from newscult.com. I think, what was the last time we saw each other in person?
Probably a movie review we did together. Probably screening.
Was it I Feel Pretty, maybe?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. We did see that together. I forgot.
More years ago, right? No, a while ago.
I think that was 2 years ago. I want to say April 2018.
Yeah, definitely 2018.
Yes. So Merce and I, we worked together. We were both editors at a news blogging website that unfortunately is not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Have been casualties in the hustle and bustle of 21st century journalism, digital journalism, and print journalism as well. But we're as people giving our opinions on media properties, we still exist in some way.
Oh yes, we do.
Want your opinions?
Right? Exactly.
We'll still give them.
People ask me, and so I don't think they're unwilling listeners. Maybe there are some people who have gotten tired of hearing me talk, but enough keep asking me to talk that I think it's the risk reward is I'm willing to go for the reward.
Yeah.
Good. So I brought Marissa, I invited Marissa on to this episode because we are talking about a show that I suspected she would have some opinions about. It's a new show this year. I think it might be on all of our lists for the best shows of 2020. Mm-hmm. It's a Netflix sitcom called Never Have I Ever. And it premiered a little while back in 2020, and it's December now, I think it's a good time to get caught up on the best stuff of the year, either to revisit it or check it out for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to compare it to some other past sitcoms that have prominently featured female teenagers, and see Never Have I Ever has added to the mix of that genre. So, Aunt Beth, Marissa, are we ready to get into all of it? Or actually, you know what, before we do, Marissa, is there anything else we need to know about you? What's going on in your world currently?
I'm doing my best to live through a pandemic, as I feel like we all are.
We're all living through it. I don't know if everyone's doing their best.
Yeah.
I mean, we can hope at least.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I apologize. I'm just saying as best as we can, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I'm consuming a lot more media than ever before because now I feel like everyone in the world suddenly had free time. So I'm glad this was one of the shows that did come around during that time, because I really got to like enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, this one did arrive fairly early in the pandemic-related shutdown. So I like to think it still would have caught on even if we weren't living through a pandemic, but I definitely think as far as what actually happened, I do think that affected its
popularity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else we need that listeners need to know about you before we go right ahead and dig in to this conversation?
Nothing necessarily. I'm just a girl trying her best, and I really like the show, so I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay. That's Sounds a good starting point, I think. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to do a little introduction to set the tone, as I normally do, and I'll also probably stick in a trailer or a clip from the show to set the tone as well. Anyway, okay, here is that little intro.
What? Mom, I'm fast asleep!
You don't look like you're asleep.
What are you doing here?
I'm doing exactly what I said I'd do. I'm here to have sex with you.
So there's this new show called Never Have I Ever that was released on Netflix back in April of this year. It's about a teenage girl named Davy, whose dad died a year ago. She's quite the firecracker. Never have they ever made a show quite like this one. Or have they? That's what we're going to find out today. Okay, so now on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic, a new one each episode. And as you've already learned, that topic is Never Have I Ever. And we discuss it according to the three F's: first, favorite, and forever. And Never Have I Ever, we're stuffing that into the more general topic of teenage sitcoms, in particular, female-led teenage sitcoms. So we're going to kind of compress the first and favorite sections into the first segment for this episode. And we're going to talk about some of the female-led sitcoms and female teenage characters from other ensemble sitcoms that kind of set the tone for each of our sitcom viewing, and our favorite examples of those categories as well. So, Marissa, as our guest, I'll let you go first. And I'm interested to find out what you have to say. As someone who's just a few years younger than me, I imagine that we might have some overlap, but I'll let you reveal that.
Sure. I feel like we might have a tiny bit, but I feel like I'm like the tail end of the millennial in terms of years, so I kind of do have some crossover interests, I feel like, with Gen Z. Though I was born in 94, so I technically am a millennial, according to the charts. But the first like teenage sitcom that I can remember watching was probably Sabrina the Teenage Witch. When I was young, like, I loved that show. I thought it was the cutest show. I actually rewatched it again last year because all the episodes were on Amazon Prime. Still, ridiculousness still holds up. So adorable. she was like, just like that. That was like the first, I guess, teenage girl show that I watched, and I was like, kind of have a memory of, and I related to the teen who just wanted to like grow up and be independent. And then other than that, and I was like reflecting on this, like for me, those teenage, especially like female teenage led sitcoms, were all very much like Disney Channel and Nickelodeon shows. So like That's So Raven, Lizzie McGuire, Zoe 101, like those were like the teen shows at the time that I watch and I watch seasons of and talked with my friends at school. And we were like, what's going to happen next week? Like kind of things. And yeah, so those are definitely like my first and my favorites, like those that really had a real impact on me as a kid. Some other ones, not female led, but like Ned's Declassified was a big one. I don't know if you remember that, Jeff. I don't know if that was too old for you.
Is that a Nickelodeon?
Yes, that was Nickelodeon.
That would have been, I was probably in high school when that aired. So it was like, weirdly, like when I was in high school, I knew. So when I was younger, from like 5 to 12 or so, I was very much into Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. not quite as much into Disney. Then when I was in high school, I really wasn't watching Nickelodeon anymore, but mm-hmm. I had a vague sense of what shows were on it, but I knew, and I, then I like got more into Disney Channel, mm-hmm. not super into it, but I would like check into it from time to time, whereas Nickelodeon had like completely fallen off the radar for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was definitely the age where like the Nickelodeon and Disney Channel shows were like the top things. Like I would go into school next day, we talk about the DCOM that came out, and like I remember like being in eighth grade when High School Musical came out, like the first one. So that just to show my age, I guess. but I'm trying to look. Also, maybe another one I would say I didn't watch it growing up, but I did watch it like a few years ago because I like had just got Netflix and a lot of shows, you know, like you missed as it aired, you would rewatch, was like Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. And like oh. that was like a big one, I feel. That's like even though
I never did.
Yeah, that was like something I never watched growing up, but like watching it as like a young adult, I was like, oh, this is a great, like not necessarily sitcom-y, but like still this female-led comedy drama, and yeah. But it was really nice and really fun, and yeah, I think that those are like kind of some of my favorites like growing up. But yeah, big also, I don't think this counts as a sitcom, but like Degrassi was big when I was young, so that was a big one, more dramedy than anything, mm-hmm. but like definitely like relatable teens tackling subjects that you never really saw kind of thing. Yeah.
So out of all of those, like, which, could you pick out any character who's, like, the Marissa of those shows?
The Marissa?
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to say, this is going to be a weird answer, but I want to say Raven on That's So Raven. Like, oh, I thought she was, like, the coolest. I thought, like, she was so fun. Like, her fashion was great. Also, I always remember that episode in my mind where there's an episode where she like works with a fashion designer and they take a photo of her and like for the cover of the magazine they like Photoshop her body and she's like, this is not what I look like, this is this, and like that to me, I guess as a young kid, I was like, that's so relatable and so nice to like show us. I don't know, I thought she was very fun, very spunky, a little bit hot-headed, like she saw the future but she never saw it exactly, so she would always like work on her, like just jump on her instinct. I don't know, I just saw myself in her. I thought she was great.
Sometimes I'll do something and I'll think to myself, that is so Raven.
Was that Raven Simone that
yes.
played her?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Hey Beth, very, I think you're up next.
Yeah, it's very interesting to hear Marissa because of she'll be closer to what you picked probably, since there's such a, now mine are going to be very different, since I'm so much older than you guys. But also what I just noticed is when you, there seemed to be a lot more female led sitcoms in your day. Well, I guess yeah. that's not yeah. usual. Like all the Nickelodeon ones that you were talking about. And then there were a few Jeff had mentioned earlier too. So when I grew up, and, you know, my memory is probably not as great, but what I remember, the first one was called Gidget with Sally Field, where she was played a 15-year-old girl from Southern California who wanted to surf and have romance. And I would have only been around 10 then, so it was exciting to see this, you know, older girl and just being on the beach and trying to, and she was popular, and it was just a lot of fun. And then also around the same time was the Patty Duke show, and Patty Duke played these identical cousins, Kathy and Patty. She was, but she was both of them, and oh, I just loved that show. Because she'd get it. One cousin was supposed to be perfect, a perfect angel, and the other one was supposed to be always getting into trouble. And so that was kind of fun. It has one of the best theme songs of all time. And then as a little older, this show, if you guys ever get the chance to watch, was so good. I guess it was only, didn't realize, but it said it was only on from 1982 to 83, was called Square Pegs. Have either of you heard of that?
I have. It was Sarah Jessica Parker was on that.
That was Sarah Jessica Parker, I think her first role, and Amy Linker was the other girl name, and they were like two nerdy high school freshmen who'd try to join the in crowd. And Jeff, this is interesting. It was written by the former SNL writer, Ann Bates, or Beats.
Yes.
Is that how you? And she said she was looking back on her own painful adolescence, and that's what she based it on. And then it also has the best, a really great theme song by The Waitresses, who also wrote one of the best Christmas songs ever, Christmas Wrapping. Mm-hmm. So if they ever, I'm going to look and see if that's on Netflix. It was really a fun, although, I haven't seen it in 30 some years, but at the time, and Jeff, your dad liked it too. And thinking about it now, and we'll get more when we talk more about Never Have I Ever, but Square Pegs is probably very close to the premise of the Never Have I Ever, the theme of, trying to fit in. That was that one. And then the last, a more recent one that I watched was Suburgatory, starring Jane Levy. And she's a teen that moves from New York to a house in the suburbs and with her single dad, and a little bit of the same trying to fit in, but also has a lot of fun interactions with some really funny characters. And then I just wrote down a couple characters that weren't lead, but who I really liked on the Wonder Years. Winnie Cooper was one of my favorite characters. And then probably I'd have to pick this one, and maybe one of my all-time favorites was Sue Heck from The Middle.
Of course.
She was just such a funny, perky. I almost forgot about her, and then I was like, oh my God, I have to. So that takes me back from the early 60s up to up to almost the present.
So Marissa, are you...
would probably be a lot different.
Yeah. Marissa, are you... did you watch The Middle? Because Aunt Beth and I were well established as huge Sue Heck fans.
No, I did not. I think my parents might have. The show I'm thinking of, they might have.
Yeah.
My parents love that show. I never got into it.
Well, yeah. We won't kick you out of this episode.
Thank you.
If you had said that, if you had said that you did watch it, but you hated Sue Heck, we might have had to take in a different sort of action. But
no.
We'll forgive you because it's in this day and age, it's not possible to watch every good show out there.
That is true. Wow. That is true. Wait.
So what about you, Jeff?
Okay, so my answer will have some overlap with both of yours, actually. We were kind of touching on it. Around the time Marissa and I were growing up in the 90s was kind of the explosion of really, with Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel, a lot of these teenage-led shows. And the two that I wrote down as that I thought really set the tone when I was young starred the same actress in two roles, like one right after the other. Melissa Joan Hart, first in Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon, and then Marissa already mentioned Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which aired on the classic TGIF lineup on ABC. And I mean, Clarissa was Clarissa Darling, I think she was influential for a lot of people in my generation because, you know, she addressed the camera directly on every episode. And without even realizing it, I think I just got the sense of, like, this is a confident, cool teenage girl. She's got it figured out, or at least she acts like she does. I mean, the title of her show says she explains it all. And she seemed to know what she was talking about.
And do you think that guys liked it as much as girls, Jeff?
I know I watched it regularly. Yeah. I think it was part of the Saturday Night SNCC lineup.
Oh, God. Me back, that name.
So I was watching all that, and Kenan and Kel were also on then. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would, from 8 to 10, I would watch, like, every show. It wasn't a girly show in the sense that it was, like, bright colors or focused on, like, ponies or other stereotypical
ponies.
This is what popped into my head. You know, like, it was female led, but it wasn't stereotypically feminine. So that's good. I would guess that it's female fandom is bigger, but I'm sure there's some, I would bet there are some men who are big Clarissa Explains It All fans. But if I'm picking my favorite all time in this genre, it's a more recent one. It's one you just mentioned, Aunt Beth. It's Suburgatory, and played by, I think her last name's pronounced Levy, which is...
She's the Levy, not Levy.
Yeah, not whereas him. The stars of Schitt's Creek, they're Levy. Eugene and Dan Levy, Jane Levy.
Okay.
I don't think any of them have ever co-starred in anything together, but the universe might explode if that happened. Tessa Altman is, I think she's kind of inherited, the legacy that Clarissa Darling set up, you know, a bit sarcastic, she's kind of acts above it all, kind of acts like she knows everything, but Def still has a nice, sweet beating heart. Despite her sharper tendencies, she was not hard to love.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, overall, Suburgatory had a fun mix of sweet and sour to it.
Yeah, it really did, with the different characters. Some were very sour and some were very sweet, but it was a great combination.
Okay, so I think that's our thoughts for the first and favorite section, and then we'll jump ahead and see where Never Have I Ever fits into all this. But before we do that, I think we'll ask each other some trivia questions. Aunt Beth, did you put together any trivia?
I have one. Well, it's funny, if you type in Never Have I Ever trivia questions, they start asking you, like, the game questions if you want to play, like, never. So this is a true or false. The coyote that Davy was attacked by in episode 4 was a real coyote. Is that true or false? You can each take a guess.
I want to say false. I want to say it was, like, their only special effect budget. Okay. went to the coyote. Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of coyotes in Southern California, so I'm going to guess true.
It's true. It says it was a real coyote, but when she went had him, that part was, like, special effects, I guess. But it went real, they had a trainer and everything, so. I know, I thought that was a little unusual.
Wow.
We were kind of both right there.
Well, yeah, it was a special effect to, I guess it was a combination. All right. Marissa, did you have any trivia?
I did not, only because I tried researching and there wasn't a lot of trivia to be found. That's just very new.
Yeah, Sometimes there's a lot more, but this one didn't have a lot. Okay, Jeff, what'd you come up with?
Okay, so my trivia question is a spelling test.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going.
We're not spelling her last name, are we?
I'm going to ask you to spell the full name of the actor who plays Davy. Her name is Maitreyi Ramakrishnan.
I did write it down somewhere, so that would be cheating. Although
I have it written in my phone, so I don't want to cheat.
No cheating, please.
No, it's right in front of me.
So
actually, I can't find it. So
turn your phone away for the next 10 seconds or so, and I'll have you do it. It's Maitreyi Ramakrishnan, and I'll have you do it one letter at a time. So who wants to go first?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. The audio cut out there for a second, but Aunt Beth said M. Correct. All
right. Now Marissa's supposed to say a letter?
Yes.
Oh, A?
Correct.
Great.
I?
Correct.
Maitreyi? Yes. Okay, you go, Marissa.
Is it T?
Yes.
Oh, God.
So far.
TR. Okay. Maitreyi.
Did you say?
R.
Yes, that's correct.
E?
Yes. You're still good so far. Still perfect.
I know. And then I remember, well, I'm not looking, but I know there's a Y. Maitreyi. So I think it's Y.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, God. I don't know if it's an I or an E. I'm going with I, but I'm probably wrong.
I is correct.
Oh.
Ah,
the first name perfectly.
The last name, I'm not even...
Can you say it again?
Ramakrishnan.
Okay, so the beginning's easy. Do you want to... Oh, it's R.
Yes.
A.
M.
Correct.
Like another A.
Correct.
Yeah. Ramakrishnan. Let's go to K.
Ramakrishnan.
Okay. You so K.
Correct.
Is it R or is it H? R, right?
It's R.
Okay.
I.
Correct.
S.
Yes.
H.
Correct.
Oh. Krishnan, is that how you say it?
Is it non or mon?
Non.
So oh. N?
Yes.
A? Almost
correct.
N?
Correct. You Woo! Did it.
If you sound it out, it's easier than it seems.
Indian? What's that?
What's her last name in the show?
It is Vishwa Kumar.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about a lot of Indian names. They can be pretty long, but they tend to be spelled how they sound.
Yeah, I guess so.
Very helpful.
Okay.
So now we're all revved up after getting our trivia correct. So we're gonna. We're going to dive deep into the forever section where we take stock of where we are right now and look ahead a little bit. So never have I ever. How does this fit into the tradition of female-led teenage sitcoms? And what's our journey to discovering this show and why have we enjoyed it? Marissa, let's hear what you have to say about all that.
Sure. So... I actually didn't watch Never Have I Ever until about like a few months after it came out. I want to say like June-ish. All my friends had watched it and they were like, Marissa, you got to watch it. It's great. It's really cute. And like my friends and I are big fans of Mindy Kaling. So we were like, it was one of the things where I was like, okay, I have to get around to watching it. I think because I had other shows that I wanted to finish at the time that wasn't like, I was like, let me finish a show first before I start it. I mean, I loved it. It was great. It was so much fun. I'm going to make a weird comparison right now, but the plot, I kind of realized this today, reminds me a little bit of Easy A, the movie, mm-hmm. Where she, if you've seen that, I don't know, she lies about, having sex with someone, and it becomes a big thing. And I was like, that, and I feel like the witty dialogue of it all kind of reminded me of that as well. So I guess that's why I liked it so much, because I love Easy A. It's one of my favorite movies. Mm. And I don't know. Everything about the show was great. I think the ensemble cast and the woman whose name we just spelled, just phenomenal. as the main character, she was the perfect balance of being this teenage girl who you were really rooting for with this tragic story of her father dying, and then this hot-headed, selfish teenager who was mm-hmm. making decisions just based on her own judgment and her own selfishness. And I think the balance worked really well, because there was never a point where yes, you thought JB was being annoying, but you never hated her. You're like, she's a 15-year-old. She's learning and growing. It's always and it was always comedic humor. Her wittiness was always great. I will say the fashion in the show was excellent. Each mm-hmm. character really had their own sense of fashion, and it was really good. And to build on previous sitcoms, she has the two best friends. And it was good to kind of see also whenever I feel like those TV shows happen, it's always a girl and a guy friend and a girlfriend, but it was nice seeing have two female best friends. I thought that was refreshing and nice, and that all three of them are women of color was wonderful.
Yeah.
And they all had their own journeys to do, and they stood up to Davey when she was being annoying. They didn't back down, and they all had their own personalities and weren't just thrown to one single I feel best friend stereotype that you get from sitcoms. So I thought that was really fun, and really great and really cool. I wrote a lot of stuff down. It was very, also very modern. All the social media nods I thought were great, but I don't know how well it's going to fare in a few years. Mm-hmm. Cause there was blatant TikTok action happening, and I was will this age in 5 years? Who knows? Yeah. But there was one little nod I thought was very funny, which was when they're at the debate, the competition, and the guys was how do you know about Paxton? And the guy was oh, he has 3 fan tumblers. And I was oh my god, this is great. That might also age, but that was just spot on, perfect. Loved it.
I believe that guy was played by Atticus Schaefer, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah, from the middle.
Yes. From the middle, yes. But yeah, I thought it was, I also just really liked the fact that she kind of got to explore topics that really be focused on topics that you feel were more in male-centric teen comedies. She really talked about sex a lot, and I thought that was kind of interesting and really great, especially for that age group. Not that age group, not the, I should be hearing teens talk about sex, but in the sense of seeing other people can relate to this kind of character. I would have loved to see that if I were younger, if I was around the high school age, and I would have loved to seen a TV show talk about that when it wasn't negative. Growing up, I had Secret Life of the American Teenager, which was a terrible show that talked about sex and teenagers, and Degrassi, which was always consequences on that show.
It was definitely much more Puritan 20, 30 years ago.
Oh yeah. Even just 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I feel I don't know. To me, this was it felt like a Disney Channel show, but with obviously the ratings and the abilities of Netflix. They were able to talk about what they wanted to talk about and still have this fun, interesting world, comedic world that we all just kind of went in. And even as a 26-year-old, I still related to her. I thought she was great, and I thought it was a fun time. And I just really loved it. Is my synopsis.
Mm-hmm. Works for me.
Yeah, you really covered it well. I first heard about it from you, Jeff, and decided to give it a try since you liked it, and because you noted that I often like coming of age stories, and so I started as soon as I watched it, I liked it right away. Davy and her friends seem to be similar to a lot of, well, not a lot, but other sitcom characters, which that, like I mentioned before, the common theme of teens feeling unpopular and wanting to fit in. But it's not to say that the show felt similar to other shows, because it was very creative and had a lot of other distinguishing factors. You said the three leads were, you know, all of color. The John McEnroe narration was really fun. I mean, it kind of didn't, in some ways, didn't even always make sense, but it just was kind of corny.
So either of you watch tennis at all, or like, what was your familiarity with Johnny Mac coming in?
I knew that he was like a big, not, I don't know if bully is the word, but I remember from your dad,
hothead,
that he argued with the refs all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it kind of, how I remembered him. So that was kind of fun to have that. And then the lead actress, again, who we don't want to say, I don't want to ruin her name, that I felt like she was just delightful. I was reading, oh God, I should have written it down, how many girls auditioned for it and that she was chosen. She's Canadian, I think it said. But she was just perfect. And like Marissa said, that combination, because you could really get angry with her when she was being so selfish and mean to her friends, but then you think about what she was going through, and she was just quite adorable. So I loved it too, and I'm really looking forward to, I think I read that there is another season coming. Mm-hmm. I feel like I read that not too long ago.
Let's see.
I think they did get confirmed for a second season, because I think they just announced like new casting, or that like renewal. I think the father like actor is like coming back for season two, so I think there'll be like more flashbacks happening. Okay. But so I know they're getting season two.
Okay, good. And then I just want to make a quick comment, how cute to Paxton. I love how they always said his whole name. Paxton Hall Yoshida. Mm-hmm. But he reminded me of a young James Franco. Something mm-hmm. like when James Franco was in Freaks and Geeks, that type. And he was adorable too. So they kind of left you hanging at the end. So I thought, well, they've got to continue with that, because at first she has no boyfriends, and at the end, both the guys are interested in her. So we shall see. But yeah, a very fun show to watch.
Are we Team Paxton or Team Ben here?
Oh, it's interesting, because I really liked when she and Ben got along as friends. You know, at first they seemed to hate each other, and then they really, you know, it was fun as they were getting along. So I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't like saying I'm a team someone.
I just thought in the spirit of teen comedies, like teen sitcoms, like I feel like that's something you have to bring up. Like, I'm team this person, I'm team this.
Well, in that case, I'm team Ben.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, it's close. It's not a done deal. Paxton could convince me otherwise.
Yeah. There's good and bad, of course, about both of them.
I don't know.
So what about you, James? Oh, sorry, Marissa.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say, I really thought Ben and her worked really well as friends. I don't know if that was romantic tension for me. This isn't me being like hot take. It was just like the way I kind of saw it. So I'm excited to see how season two plays it out. Like, I want to see her with Paxton just to fulfill that like teen fantasy of like dating the hottest guy in school. Yeah. But it would be cool if like they explored like obviously the downside of that. Like, I want to see how, I want to see how it plays out, but I don't know. I just thought I'd ask the question. Every TV show, like, especially geared towards like young women, it's like team who in terms of relationships. Yeah. This isn't Twilight, but like.
True, you know. I hadn't thought of that, how they're going to take that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does seem a little, I don't know if I should say this, but the Paxton relationship just seems a little less realistic. Like, if you were in high school and the most popular guy in high school date a girl who's not so popular and younger, and so I don't know, we'll see how they hopefully it's treated well, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always like the friends to lovers trope. But, I mean, in the case of Davy and Ben, it would be enemies to friends to lovers.
That's right.
But, I mean, in general, I like it both on TV and in real life. I like when there's a foundation of friendship to start out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a big believer in, if you are in a relationship with anybody, you should be their friend first. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, yeah, before you date someone you have to be their friend, but, like, if your partner isn't your friend, that's weird.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So
how did you hear about it, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. I most immediately remember seeing this reviews pop up. I think Vulture had a really glowing review. I think the headline was something like, I binged all 10 episodes of Never Have I Ever in one afternoon, and I've never been happier. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. I think Catherine Van Arendonk, she's a TV critic at Vulture, I believe she wrote that review. So that caught my attention, and I knew Mindy Kaling was a creator, and, you know, so on a lot of the characters she plays are adult women who act like they're still teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And now here she is making a show about actual teenagers. I'm like, I think there could be something here.
Mm-hmm.
But what really pushed it over the edge for me was the presence of John McEnroe as narrator.
I wonder how they thought of that. That is a pretty interesting.
It was a great punchline. Like, not punchline, like payoff. Like, yeah, at the end, I remember texting my friend at the beginning of this. I'm like, why is this tennis guy narrating the show? And everyone was like, just watch. Like, it makes sense. And I was like, okay. And then when it happened, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's, I don't want to spoil that. Like, that's like such a great moment in the show.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God. So good. So good. Such a good payoff.
Yeah. If you haven't watched the show yet, or if you're still in the midst of it, yeah, we'll leave that surprise to you. But if you have watched all of it, you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then another thing I really wanted to mention, I can't think of any other sitcom that features a South Asian character in the lead so prominently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the great thing about diversity is the unique storytelling possibilities it opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing I'm thinking of specifically is the episode where we met all the aunties, the Indian aunties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there are some aspects of that in other cultures that are similar, but not quite like this. You know, you couldn't have this storyline in any other show that's existed before.
And it's just like proof that, like, diversity, I mean, is obviously amazing on screen, but, like, behind the camera as well, like, it was created by Mindy Kaling. Like, she, this wouldn't have been made if it wasn't for her being the showrunner. And, like, it's just important to see, like, it's good to see that, and it's good that she was able to be like, okay, now I'm the creator, I am going to show everybody this representation that, like, clearly, like, lacking in media. Like, I think this is the first sitcom ever led by a South Asian, is it Southeastern Asian? I don't want to get it incorrect. Character, like, at least on United States television.
Well, I mean, there was Mindy Kaling herself on the Mindy mm-hmm. project.
I mean, like, teen. I meant teen sitcom, my bad.
Right. As far as teen goes, I think that's correct. I don't know of any other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, is there anything else that any of us have left to say?
I really enjoyed the episode on Ben. I thought it was great. I love that Andy Samberg came in and, like, they explained it away with, like, yeah, I owe his father to do this. And it's just, I thought that was, like, a perfect, like, little bow, like, the little narration, that whole little plot line, like, again, with social media, where it was, like, they met a dude on Reddit and they met them in person, and that was, like, ooh, like, the dangers of social media and all that. Like, I thought it was really well done. I mean, like I love that that special episode was great, and especially and also the special episode when they do go to the festival and they really deep dive and like explain to everybody like all these important aspects of like Indian specifically Hindu culture, and I thought that was really cool. Like they did that like those little special episodes really well.
Yeah, hopefully people can tell that we really loved the show.
Yes. Sometimes it can be hard to read between the lines of everything we're saying.
Also, for a comedy, I didn't mean to interrupt, I apologize, but they handled grief very well, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, that she lost her father and she impacted her so much she couldn't walk for like 3 months. Which I think the only thing I didn't like was that they kind of just like brush over that one just to like give her like the I was super uncool last year kind of backstory. But like hopefully maybe they'll bring that up later. Who knows? But I don't know, like the whole interwoven parts with her and the therapist was Niecy Nash was hilarious and great. I love her so much. I think that like really kind of cut to the core that like it did really stem from like her grief with her father, and like that final episode, like the last 5 minutes literally had me sobbing like a baby when they're at the beach. I was like, this is just a good little like ribbon on the entire show, like at least the first season. Like I thought it was really good, and like I don't know, I think they handled a lot of adult topics that like they wouldn't be able to handle on like ABC Family or like the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon very well, and really made use of like having Netflix as a platform to talk about these things. Also, one last thing. I'm so sorry. Usually you think, like, a lot of TV shows, I feel like, when it comes to, like, writing for teens, the dialogue is so corny and terrible. And, like, I thought the dialogue here was great. It was fun. It was witty. It made me laugh. It didn't make me feel like a 40-year-old wrote it for, like, a 15-year-old. And I thought it was very natural. Like, when you mentioned, like, say, Mindy Kaling had characters that kind of acted like a teen, and now she's finally writing for a teenager, I was like, that really makes a lot of sense.
I mean, she seems to be clued in on what younger generations are up to. You've been talking about the social media aspect of it all. Like, it feels like the writers aren't just throwing in references to Reddit and TikTok. Like, they understand how those platforms work.
Definitely.
All right, Aunt Beth, any more addendums to add?
No more about that. I just, like we said, just people should watch it.
Yep, it's on Never Have I Ever is on Netflix, and it'll remain there for, I guess, as long as Netflix remains a functioning streaming platform.
Yeah.
When I was looking, we were looking through while we were recording some of the other shows that we've mentioned to see if they're streaming anywhere. It looks like the Patty Duke show is on Tubi.
Ooh, Tubi?
T-U-B-I. It's a free streaming option, yeah. With advertisements, but yeah, free to sign up. Check out the Patty Duke show.
And what about Square Pegs? Did you look that one up?
I checked that. It looks like you can buy episodes on iTunes or Amazon, but yeah, it's not part of any package.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so at this point in the show, we kind of promote and recommend for doing anything. Forgot to mention at the top of the show, if you leave us a review, we will read it on air and mention your name. So you can head to theratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. That's a good way to provide us your feedback. And I always like to say, if you enjoy the show, recommend it in person or via text to at least 2 people. And if you've already done it, do it to 2 more. Why not? And Marissa, I say to our guests, well, you're a little special. I'd like you to recommend it to at least 4 people.
Okay.
Or more if you want.
I'll send it like a chain letter in early AOL. Like, better listen to this podcast. Someone's coming after you.
Exactly. But do you have anything you're up to nowadays that you'd like to promote or anything you'd like to recommend?
As far as recommendations go, I will say I've been taking in a lot of content during quarantine, and I've kind of pivoted back to YouTube just because I recently got a smart TV in my room and I'm able to watch it on a regular TV rather than on my phone or on my computer. So there's a lot of great YouTubers I like, who I have no affiliation to whatsoever, but I just recommend their content. Quentin Reviews is a really great one. I think he's reviewing very interesting content right now. He reviewed a lot of like old Nickelodeon shows, and he did a whole thing on like how YouTube conglomerates made those like big collab movies, and I thought it was really, really cool. As for TV shows, I think my favorite show that I've watched over quarantine is probably What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, boy.
10 out of 10. That second season somehow improved on the first one. It was so good and so funny. My family and I have a Jackie Daytona magnet on our fridge. We love it.
Did you listen to our episode about that?
No, I will be as soon as this ends.
God, that's... So good.
Oh. So good. So funny. Definitely like the most, I got so many people into it too. Over quarantine, I was like, you have to watch What We Do in the Shadows. Like, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. I guess, I don't know, I'm recommending random things. I guess because Spotify Wrapped came out this year. I mean, it just came out like this week. If you don't know what Spotify is, it's a music streaming service, and every like December they give a Wrapped, which is like the songs you listen to the most this year. And like, I guess I'll recommend some music. I don't know. People listen to me sometimes. I really liked, what's the name? If you like pop music, listen to Rina Sawayama's new album, Sawayama. It's so good. One of my favorite songs of the year was Comme des Garçons. So good. I mean, Chromatic by Lady Gaga was great. Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia was like a disco trip. Always promoting.
That's my favorite album of the year.
Oh, it's so good. Chloe and Halle's Ungodly Hour was probably my favorite. So good. Also, I somehow listened to the same song the most amount of times this year as I did last year, which was No Plan by Hozier, which his most recent album is excellent. Wasteland, comma, baby, exclamation point. if you haven't listened to it, 10 out of 10 album. I apparently still am in 2020 at the end. And then just, you know, I'm on social media. I talk about a lot, as you can tell. I'm at Marissa Splen, MarissaSplen on literally every platform. Very easy. I sometimes tweet funny things. Check me out.
I do.
That was a handful. I'm sorry.
It was enthusiastic, so. Mm-hmm. Aunt Beth, anything you'd like to mention?
Nothing to promote, but I've been watching a lot of stuff lately. Right now I'm watching Virgin River.
For a change.
Yes. Have you guys watched that, Virgin River, on Netflix?
No.
Oh, it's really good. And The Pack on Amazon, it's like an amazing race for dogs and their owners.
Ooh!
So you should watch that. That's on Prime.
Put that on my watch list right now.
Yeah. A Teacher was really good. That's on Hulu. Kate Mara. Yep. That's really good. And then I'm looking on Netflix. I think it starts this next, maybe Sunday, the new Bryan Cranston movie show called Your Honor.
I think that's on Showtime.
Yes, Showtime, you're right. And that looks really good. And then just two quick movies that I recommend. I watched over Thanksgiving that are both quite serious themes, but fabulous acting, was Uncle Frank, which, it was so good. It's, now my mind is Paul, what's his name? It's
just my mind.
Yes, Paul Bettany. And the girl is so good that plays his niece. That's on Amazon, and the Hillbilly Elegy on Netflix was fantastic. Although I've been seeing lots of comments about it, people criticizing it. But I mean, it was directed by Ron Howard. It's got Glenn Close and Amy Adams. I just thought it was good. So those are my recommendations, and nothing to promote.
I'm going to promote our upcoming shows for the week of December. We've got Aunt Beth recommended a Christmas-themed album for me to listen to. So that's going to be our next episode. And then I'm going to do a Christmas themed karaoke corner. Mm-hmm. I'll recommend the best Christmas songs to sing at if you're ever at a holiday karaoke situation. And then, and Aunt Beth, we're going to do our Christmas show is going to be we're going to rank our favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Ooh. Yes.
And Owen, Ken Jeong, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on to do an episode about The Masked Singer. If anyone knows Ken Jeong, please let him know.
Okay, last night my mom and I, we like flipped it on TV. I had never seen an episode before. I was invested. Oh, I was so like hooked. I never had seen it before. The Sun.
Next week is it's like a special holiday episode there.
Oh, okay.
And then in 2 weeks is the finale.
Oh, someone please let me know who the Sun is. I just want to know. Your voice is amazing.
Reddit thinks it's a certain 90s singer.
Mm-hmm.
Who does?
Reddit. There's a lot of speculation on Reddit. But I was upset that the Seahorse was eliminated. That was my pick for this year. Remember to follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And yeah, I think that's everything. So I guess it's time to say goodnight.
Well, what is goodnight? And Marissa, it was wonderful having you join us.
Thank you so much for having me on. I was so happy to be here.
We were so happy to have you.
Yay.
And that brings us to the very, very end. So that means I'll have to go ahead and say, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.